This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, first road trip of the year for our man Sal Capaccio, rolling with the Bills. This still kind of counts as behind the scenes at Bills training camp, as far as I'm concerned. And that's brought to you by our friends at Outlet Liquor for the lowest everyday prices in the state. Shop Outlet Liquor. Sal from beautiful downtown Cleveland. How are you, man?
It is beautiful downtown Cleveland. I'm doing fine, but it's very rainy, beautiful downtown Cleveland today. It stopped raining, but when we got here, we landed, it was raining pretty good. Then on the way here, it was raining, and it's stopped now, but it's still pretty cloudy, and I think it might even rain a little bit tomorrow night as far as what I see in the forecast.
Bummer. All right. Well, I see from WGR550.com that you and I had kind of a mind meld going on about this game tomorrow night, because I wrote today that I'm excited about this game. I think, like, the storylines are obvious and I think interesting, and of course I've got, you know, a quarterback situation here that's unsettled. That's, I think, anytime Josh Allen's going to throw a football in a professional game, that's must-see TV. So I'm way more up on this than I would admit that I normally am for week two of the preseason. Usually by halftime of the first preseason game of the year, I'm like, okay, September, get here, come on. I'm kind of like at can't wait to see this game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. I'm digging it, too. It's going to be cool. Even for me, like preseason, it's a nice tune-up for us. But, you know, if you don't get those juices flowing, when you're on the sidelines broadcasting the game like you do for a regular season, obviously, totally different feeling for this one. There's so many different storylines, as you alluded to, Bulldog. There's so many reasons why for that. One of them is obviously Tyrod Taylor. That's where I started. I wrote about the three that intertwined the Bills with the Browns. Tyrod Taylor obviously getting a chance to play his former team. He's not going to play them in the regular season. This is his only chance, short of a playoff game against with the two, that he's going to have a chance to show that, you know, they made a mistake and put some points on the board. So that's interesting. Corey Coleman, as Derek's been alluding to in the updates, you know, facing his former team. His first game is going to be against his former team. He was just on Hard Knocks. He got traded. He said to the world, basically, national TV, he says to Hugh Jackson, you know, if you're not going to play me, trade me, basically. He did. He gets traded. Suddenly he's playing in his former team. And then you have Allen versus Mayfield. And I think independently of each other, they are great storylines in themselves. A chance for fans to see Mayfield, Browns fans to see Allen, all that goes into the competition in Buffalo. Mayfield, even though he doesn't have a chance to actually win the competition, according to Hugh Jackson, trying to prove that he belongs. But then you have maybe the two most polarizing quarterback or even draft prospects of this past draft going at it on the same field. And oh, by the way, they might be on the field, you know, technically at the same time, facing each other, running a unit in the second quarter, let's say, against each other. I think this is awesome.
I really hope that that's how this shakes out, that they're going head to head. You know, not that you want to, like, you know, make any long range judgments based on it, but just for the fun of it, just for the, I don't know if theater is a goofy word to use for it, but I think it would be pretty interesting for them to be, you know, ideally they get on the field in a tie game, 7-7, and here come the rookies, and like, okay, let's play the feud, you know.
Absolutely, 100%. It would be nice, and of course, they're not actually on the field at the same time because they're both on offense. We know that, but if you have them going against each other to kind of gauge, you know, if they're both second teams, you know, it's kind of a fair fight, if you will. So maybe you can get a little bit more out of that and say, ooh, let's kind of compare and contrast these two. I'll tell you this, it's also on NFL Network. You know, if you're outside of Buffalo, you're outside of Cleveland, it's a national game. People can watch it. So I think this game, it's not just us. there are a lot of eyeballs and people interested. I was watching NFL Network the other day, and, you know, Nate Burleson said Josh Allen's his most intriguing player to watch this week. I know Peter Schrager, I think it was, said this is the most interesting game for him. I know they're promoting it, but I do think it has that feel to it that a lot of people around the country want to watch this. And then you have the story of Hard Knocks and everything we've seen so far. You have last night's embedded Bills and what people got to see from McDermott, and now maybe kind of putting that into action when they see him on the field as Bills fans. So you have so many other things even surrounding this game. Independent is Dez Bryant, did he visit today? You know, is that a storyline tomorrow here in Cleveland, something like that? I mean, there's a lot going on in this game.
Yeah, we just talked to Daryl Ryder about half an hour, 40 minutes ago, and he said as he knew as he was joining us at 5:30 that the visit was still ongoing, that Bryant was still meeting with the Browns. So
there you go.
We'll see if something develops on that front between now and game time tomorrow. Not that we would expect Dez Bryant to be in the lineup or anything, but maybe, you know, if he signs, that would be really big news. Like, I wonder, like, how prominently you watch Hard Knocks more faithfully than I do. Does once the preseason games start happening, does the team that the subject of Hard Knocks is playing get significant airtime, or is it still largely just about the Browns? Like, I'm wondering if the Bills get any light shined on them because they're playing the Browns in this thing, like next week when Hard Knocks is on.
Probably not, but this is a little bit of a different situation. It's a little unique in the fact that the starting quarterback for the Browns just was on the Bills, right?
Right.
So I would think they would show him maybe interacting with Bills players, Bills coaches. They would probably talk about that storyline. You know, they would probably have some sort of soundbite and interview with Tyrod talking about him, you know, playing the Bills. But generally, from the times I've watched, they've never really focused on the other team or anything like that because, you know, it is a subject of the Browns. But I would venture to guess that you're going to see a little bit more of the opposing team type of stuff in this one than you normally would, but it would be more around the relationship of Tyrod Taylor with the Buffalo Bills.
Lay out for me again, because you alluded to hoping that Allen and Mayfield are playing at the same time in the game, like maybe coming in at some point in the second quarter. What you think maybe the quarterback rotation will be, because I know we still don't know. Sean McDermott's kept it secret, let the team know. But I think, if I remember correctly from yesterday, we're anticipating McCarron maybe getting the start, and then maybe because Allen worked with the second team all week that he goes in second tomorrow?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think that's what's going to happen just based on what I've seen at practice all week. I think the question is when it happens. I'm pretty confident just based on practice that it'll be AJ McCarron followed by Josh Allen followed by Nathan Peterman. The question is, when will Josh Allen go in? Will you see him automatically start the second quarter like you did last week, basically with who was it last week? McCarron went in the second quarter.
Right.
Will you see that? Will you see him come in later in the second quarter? Will it be the second half? Does McCarron get the whole first half? You know, I think that there's an element of McDermott wanting this to be a fair fight between all three. So I would think maybe that means McCarron gets one quarter because that's what Peterman got last week, you know, with the starters. Are there any starters still in the game when Allen gets in? That's an interesting thing to watch, you know. So, you know, we'll see when that happens. But I'm pretty confident Josh Allen's going to get into this game before he got into last game, simply based on the rotation at practice this week. And last game he got in to start the second half, so I think that means this week he plays in the first half.
What are some other – we'll have obviously a lot of time to go through all this tomorrow, probably numerous times, and I think I'm under the impression you're going to be a part of the roundtable with Chris Brown and Mark Kelso, so we'll be exhausting a lot of storylines as we go. But outside of the quarterback situation, which again, we center so much of our attention on, like, what are some other really interesting roster battles that maybe will start to flesh themselves out now that we are to preseason game number two, Sal?
Well, we still have one at center. You know, that's still ongoing between Ryan Groy and Russell Bodine. And, you know, if you're going to do what you do at quarterback, then you're going to give Bodine the start this week because Ryan Groy started last week. If Ryan Groy starts this week, I think we can almost put that competition to bed. But Russell Bodine was with the ones this week more than Groy was, I think. It was a rotation, you know, Sunday through Wednesday, and, you know, when they did the ones. So at least half the time. So I think you'll probably see Bodine there to start tomorrow. There seems to be some sort of competition developing at the linebacker spot. I just can't figure out what it is right now. There's more rotation happening. I don't know if they're not exactly sure or happy with Matt Milano or think he's necessarily where they need him to be. Keenan Robinson has started to rotate into that spot, but Keenan also rotates at backup middle linebacker. So it might be also, I'm trying not to read too much into it, but also try to figure it out, Bulldog, where maybe they're just trying to get him to learn both spots, which would make sense because he has the skill set to play both middle and weak. And as we've talked about, they might need to have somebody out there with a little more pass coverage. He's long, he's faster, things like that. But at the same time, you know, getting reps with the first team defense at the weak side is notable. And I think that's something to keep an eye out on how that rotation might play out. I think we're also in a full-fledged competition right now between Phillip Gaines and Taron Johnson for the nickel corner spot. Phillip Gaines probably has a bit of an edge because he is the veteran and he's been here. But I think Taron Johnson is ready to take that job if any slip up at all. I think they're almost looking for a reason for Taron Johnson to win that job. He just necessarily hasn't given him that yet.
If he were to win that job, does Phillip Gaines still make the team, or is he maybe in trouble?
I think he makes the team because he's still your number three outside corner.
Okay.
Taron Johnson really only plays the slot. So they don't have a lot of depth at that position. That's one spot where every time I go through the roster, I think about where could they add, you know, maybe when cuts happen. You know, you have that. Now, remember, there's no cut to 75 anymore. You go right from 90 to 53. So that puts every team at a disadvantage of kind of surveying the land and picking up a guy that gets, you know, cut off another roster. But what happens is you're going to have that initial cut down to 53. Those guys are going to be told they make the team, and then there's going to be one or two guys that within 24 hours you're like, oh, sorry, you didn't actually make the team because someone got cut from another team,
right,
and we're bringing them over here. I wouldn't be surprised if that's corner, right? I mean, I don't think that's Phillip Gaines, but, you know, does a Breon Borders make the team, and then they find somebody that can be better than him? I just, Lafayette Pitts, you're not talking about a lot of depth there at corner. I like the starters, Tre'Davious White and Vontae Davis, but beyond them, I think they're lacking. So I do think Phillip Gaines makes the team. They did sign him in free agency. I think they liked his skill set for what he could bring, but at the same time, I don't think they'd hesitate at having an upgrade and, you know, pushing him either to the number four spot or at least adding to the depth behind him.
We know that the safety tandem of Poyer and Hyde is a strength of the team. What about behind them? I mean, I don't want to, like, assume that I can have such solid guys back there that there wouldn't be a drop-off. I mean, those guys were at a very high level, maybe the strongest position group on the team last year, Hyde and Poyer. But what is the landscape behind those two guys?
Still either the strongest position on the team or maybe second strongest behind defensive tackle with what they've done there. But I think I really like this group. They're going to be very good this year. Rafael Bush is an underrated signing from what I've seen. He's done a very nice job in training camp. He just does his job. He seems to be a very, very professional type of worker, just goes about his job. You never really notice him because he's not getting beat. He's not doing anything wrong. He's just kind of in place all the time. He plays back. He plays up. He plays that big nickel spot a lot of times that Sean McDermott likes to use. I think Rafael Bush is a very nice addition to this team. And what it's allowed for is the other guys that they have not to have to go into that role, but simply be kind of backup players to all three of them. And Dean Marlowe seems to be the guy that's really kind of taken hold of that fourth spot. Dean Marlowe came into this league with the Carolina Panthers. Sean McDermott was familiar with him. That's why they signed him. He had some injuries. He didn't really have a season last year. They picked him up, kind of an afterthought with a lot of people, but that's what happens to some of these guys that you're familiar with. Look, that was Jordan Poyer last year. The reason why Jordan Poyer was on this team was they had one position coach who was familiar with him from Cleveland and said, I like this kid, and look what happened. Same thing happened here with Dean Marlowe. I like what they're doing there. Now, Saran Neal got a little bit of time yesterday rotating in with the twos. He's generally been with the threes. I think he's kind of like the Taiwan Jones of offense. He's really there for special teams, and then maybe he can develop into something later on down the road. But I like a lot their safety group, and I think that it will really impact what Sean McDermott can do because it's such an important part of his defensive scheme.
You mentioned Taiwan Jones. What about running back? Is Marcus Murphy someone who we should watch out for challenging for, I don't know, number two reps once we get to the regular season, or is it a little too early to start thinking about that?
No, he is a guy. I will tell you that I can tell you right now that the team really likes what he's done. Coach McDermott, his staff, they're very impressed with the game he had last week. But they want to see him do it again. There's There's one thing to do it. You know, you get out there, your juices are flowing, you can do it. Can you back it up? Can you have another strong week? Do you just settle in and say, hey, you know, I had a great week, and then you kind of back off a little bit, or, you know, you don't get that same adrenaline and that same, you know, look, I guess, as Sean McDermott likes to talk about, the look in the eye, right? I mean, they want to see that. He's got to be able to do that, and he's got to be able to perform on special teams. So I think this is a nice battle going on, too. Like, let's not count out Travaris Cadet. Travaris Cadet is someone that Sean McDermott was familiar with in the NFC South and really raved about every time he had to face him, you know, that he was a guy they had to account for because he has a skill set that he can do so much. But look, Marcus Murphy has... He's been noticed now. He has put his name out there. People are noticing him. The coaching staff knows who he is. They want to see him back it up. He's got to continue to do what he did last week in order to really kind of push for that third roster spot. I think that they're looking for him to back it up, make it two games in a row where he does that.
All right, Sal, I waited till the end here. So what's your ghastly injury story? We were talking about stupid injuries from accidental, whether it's sports or not, earlier in today's show. Spent about an hour on it. Heard some horrific stories that I almost regret airing some extent. But what do you have for us?
Well, are you looking for like a really horrible injury, or just like, are you kidding me? You actually injured yourself?
Yeah,
like
no, more the latter. More like what?
Okay, good.
What did you do? Yeah, I don't need graphic.
Okay, because gross. Here's the thing. I'm just like Joe, where as much as, I mean, I'm 45. I've played sports my whole life. And I've never broke a bone. Believe it or not, knock on wood. I've never broke a bone in my body playing sports. I've had a lot of sprains, things like that, lots of bumps and bruises. I still get them, you know, playing flag football still at the age of 45, and I can hardly walk the next day. I mean, stuff like that, right? But I will tell you that when I was in my mid-20s, I was living in Florida. I was dating this girl. Things were going good. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'll be over your apartment later. Yeah, we're going to hang out tonight. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to go get a pizza, get it, drive over to her apartment. Everything's going good, you know? All of a sudden, I walk in. She's got this door where I walk in that she's got, like, in Florida, you have the lanai. You know what the lanai is, right? It's like a patio.
Okay.
Okay, where you have that area where you walk outside the sliding glass door, and then you have the caged-in type of patio. So mm-hmm. I walk in the lanai. She sees me. I get this big smile. I'm like, whoop, we're going to have a good night here. This is awesome. Got my pizza in my hand. Bulldog, I had no idea that the glass door was shut. And I mean, I had a jump in my step, and I walked into that thing so damn hard, I swear to God, I thought I broke my nose.
Did you go down?
No, I dropped the pizza somewhat. I saved it on the way down, but I saved it. I did not, so we still got to eat the pizza. But I was more embarrassed than anything. But I don't know if you've anybody's... I still to this day say, I remember that as clear as day... And I still can't believe that thing was closed. Whoever washed that sliding glass door did the most amazing job on it, because I had no idea the thing was closed. And I'm telling you, like, you ever been like, yeah, you're going in hard because you're uh-huh. like, ooh, yeah, I'm feeling good right now. Like,
right.
I wasn't just walking.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I had the strut going. I had the uh-huh. jump and the step going. this is a nice night. I got the pizza. She's right. happy. Let's go.
Right. Little like Vince McMahon walking out like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, exactly.
All right. Here we go. Bam. Yeah.
That's what happened. I mean, look, it's not the sexiest story, but it is funny. I mean, that's what happened to me.
Right. Yeah. It's not misjudging a fly ball from 300 feet away.
I will tell you, now that you say that, do you remember how Ricky Henderson used to snap his glove?
Uh huh.
When he would catch the ball? Well, I was at Delaware Park one time. It wasn't Delaware. It was down in Allegheny, actually. I believe it was. My cousin Joe. He might be actually listening right now, and
Hi,
he's
Joe.
A little bit older than me. And he was. I was a center fielder. I was growing up. I was a little kid. And I said, I'm going to do a Ricky Henderson. And I pulled the glove away a little too soon. And Oof. It whacked me right in the nose. Another nose injury. All Again, right. didn't break the nose, though. I was bleeding everywhere.
Wow.
But it never broke the nose.
You got a tough
But
snot.
I did. I snapped the glove away wait a little bit too soon to act like Ricky Henderson.
Yeah. You got a tough schnoz there, kid.
I know, right?
That's the bottom line here. All right. So what?
I know. You know what's going to happen tonight? I'm going to like slip on some rain. Some like, and right. I'm going to break the nose or something. Now after all that.
So what's the big dinner plans? What kind of crew you got put together out there in?
We're still completing it right now. I just texted with Jay Harris, see what he's doing. You know, Jay and Murph had to do the show today back there, so they actually drove. They weren't able to take the charter with us. Thad Brown from over in Rochester, he's the new sideline guy on TV. So him and Josh Reed, my buddy from Channel 4, right. Obviously, with Scotty Swenson, you know. We'll probably all get together, have a nice dinner, talk some football, and see what else is going on.
All right, man. Well, enjoy it, and I'll be ready to talk to you. Like, I don't know. We're scheduled to visit like 3 or 4 times, I think, tomorrow. So you know the drill. It's football season. All right.
So you're telling me don't yell over whatever live band is playing tonight and ruin the voice.
Hey, you do whatever you think is right, man. You got a chance to let it rip. Let it rip. I mean, I'm not going to.
We are, by the way, we are like right across the street from the stadium and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh,
it is a cool place. It's
a great
not
spot.
Like the most amazing place in the world.
Yep.
But there's a lot of cool stuff here. Cleveland is a very cool city. I don't care about, you know, the people that say all this stuff about, you know, Cleveland and Buffalo are very similar in that. I think this is a very cool city.
I like it. I like it a lot. When I said beautiful downtown Cleveland, I was not being sarcastic at all. I love it.
It's nice.
We've been there numerous times as a family for baseball games and, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think you probably can figure out how I feel about that. That's right. Tremendous. All right. Well, enjoy your night, Sal. Thanks for this, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.
There you go. Sal Capaccio on the AT&T hotline from Cleveland. Bills and Browns getting together tomorrow, week 2 of the preseason, and we'll have – basically, the whole show is like a pregame show. Sal will be on at 4 o'clock and at 5 o'clock, and then he'll be a part of the roundtable. Eventually, we get to kick off at around 7:30 with Murph, Mark Kelso, and Sal down on the sidelines. The Twitter feed is just full of ghastly stories that I'm inclined to probably share with you when we get back. this conversation would say, you gotta love, I've done that too, like the sliding glass door, walk into the door, like I don't have, it's not a story that stands out, but I just like some random party, whatever, just like, oh, the door's closed. I definitely have done that. No injury, but still, like, that is embarrassing. I'll share that with you, the stories that I've got on my Twitter feed. And if you want to call in anything on the Bills, if you got any holdovers on these ghastly stories, too, from, like, stupid injuries you suffered, feel free to revisit that as well. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Mike Shope is on vacation. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Yeah, a very polarizing topic here in Cleveland when you talk about the Browns head coach, mostly because of the 1-31.
You don't say. How far is he making it into the season? That's Daryl Ryder, by the way, from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. How far does he make it? I mean, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, I think they're going to be better, the Browns. I don't think they're going to be a joke. So I don't know. Like maybe he's safe. I mean, I don't know, man. It all just seems so combustible there. But I think they might be all right. You know, I think 5-6 wins. I don't know. Does that save his job? He probably gets fired after that. Right? Or maybe he gets fired during a season that goes that way.
Yeah, I wonder if he gets fired during. Like, they could end up with 5, 6, even 7 wins, but what if they come at the back half once Todd Haley's that coach?
Right.
They start with Steelers, Saints, Jets, Raiders, Ravens. Like, that's not too daunting. Those first two were pretty tough.
Yeah,
but
you're 0-2. I mean, they're not winning either of those games, I don't think.
But could they win 2 out of those 3, Jets, Raiders, Ravens? Two
sure.
of them are at home? Like,
sure,
and I think
could.
That would be enough
sure.
for him to not be fired.
Yeah.
Then again, if he starts 0-5, he's got to be out of there.
I think it's so interesting. Like, this Daryl Ryder, like, Tyrod Taylor's playing the whole year. Like, just, that's it. That's the plan. Like, I don't know, man. The number one pick in the draft. Like, we're talking here, like, should Josh Allen play right away? Like, I can respect not starting him right away, but he absolutely is going to play at some point this season, unless the Bills are, you know, whatever, 9-3 or something. Like, okay, I understand why you don't want to make a change, all right? You're having an incredible year that, you know, again, I didn't see coming. But I can't imagine the Browns go through the year without playing him. I don't know. That just seems crazy to me.
If Taylor were still here and McDermott had said the same thing, which I don't know if he ever would have said the same thing because,
right.
And even if he did, would we have believed him? Because last year he went to Peterman
right.
at one point. But if he had said, with Taylor still here in Buffalo, Tyrod's the starter all year, I think we'd all just be like, all right, come on.
Whatever.
If you're 2-6 at one point.
Thank you. Like, I don't believe Hugh Jackson. I think he's lying. I think he's just saying that because he wants to get off to a good start and he wants everybody to believe in Tyrod Taylor. And that's fine. This is not a criticism of Taylor at all. It seems nuts to me. So, yeah, whatever. Take a stand, I guess, Hugh Jackson. Stupidest way you've hurt yourself. This crossed my Twitter feed. I don't know what it says about people who I follow, but everybody from like Jason Isbell to random NFL writers were sharing their ridiculous injuries, ways that they hurt themselves on Twitter, like in the last 24 hours or so. It's at least when I first saw it. So I brought it up today, told a couple of embarrassing stories of my own, and wow. I mean, the calls were something. From 4:30 to 5:30. You can check that out on demand at WGR550.com or at radio.com. I'm under the impression, I don't want to jinx anything, that the app has been working a little better. I don't think the Canada situation's anywhere near to getting solved, so I'm sorry about that. But I understand, like, people who are trying to, like, stream and use the app, I don't think they've just gotten tired of complaining. Because that would shock me. I think they've ironed out some of the kinks. So hopefully you can access these segments of the show through the app or at WGR550.com on demand. Brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest and get back to living. But 4:30 to 5:30, we spent an hour just taking calls on just stupid injuries. And, of course, Twitter was, overflowing as well. Dougie here says, I had finally been promoted to varsity football, though was running a preschool football camp. I was chasing a 3-year-old, stepped wrong on the grass, buckled my knee, and was out the first 6 weeks of the season. That's a bummer. Austin shares with us, says his dad cut his finger open once, went to the ER. The guy next to him had a butter knife stuck in his back, supposedly via his wife. Dad's pain ebbed after seeing that. That doesn't sound good. To those of you, Ryan is the first one here, at 12 Bills fan, and you're not alone. Thanks for sharing, like, the ghastly photos. This isn't that bad. It's just the bottom of his foot. But, you know, nope, I didn't need to see that. I once got secondary burns on the bottom of my feet walking on the beach. Now, every time I go to the beach, my family tells me not to burn my feet. Again, dude, with the foot. My embarrassing injuries involved my right foot and disc golf. First one, I slipped backwards at Beaver Island while walking downhill and broke my ankle. Second was last Labor Day. Foot tripped on a tree root and shattered my foot and tore ligaments. Needed surgery. So disc golf. Okay. That's pretty bad, I'd say. Tim Donovan writes in, I threw a football to my brother in the street, let him right into a telephone pole. Could not get the word stop out of my mouth in time. That's pretty funny. That is.
I've done that before. I led my brother into a metal mailbox, which I think might even been funnier just because of the sound that that makes when you hit an empty metal mailbox going full speed.
Yeah, that's pretty good. This one, I got to share this. Is this the Badura? Anyway, midnight bowling next to some kids. Someone spilled Pepsi on the lanes and I didn't see it. My plant foot got stuck and I tore hip ligaments and my glute. It might be the only bowling injury in history. Yeah, that's harsh. That's harsh. My friend was throwing, this is from Austin, my friend was throwing goldfish. And I was trying to catch them in my mouth, accidentally ran into a wall, had to leave school and get 6 stitches in my forehead. I got to tell you, my friend was throwing goldfish. The first time I read that, I thought,
oh, like real goldfish?
Actual goldfish. I was like, that's weird. That's why I sounded that way when I read it just now. But now I realize he's talking about the little cheesy crackers. Sorry, I'm not so smart. Maybe not as bad as yours, says reciting my mantras. Mantras. Anyway, this guy says, or girl, I can't tell, but maybe not as bad as yours, but shirtlessly trying to impress some girls, slinging and spectacularly catching footballs on the beach, dislocated my pinky so badly in both joints, I almost lost my finger. Ugh. ER, hand therapy for months, and he has a picture here. And, yeah, that pinky still looks kind of messed up, man. I'm sorry about that. That is harsh. I won't bother with the, got a guy here that put a photo of like a hunk of wood through his calf. Again, like, I mean, I appreciate you listening and contributing to the show, but I'm not retweeting that. I didn't need to see it. So, thanks. Scott Everett, a guy that Mike knows quite well, opening a beer bottle with a chef knife, something I had done numerous times before. However, the foil on the bottle turned out to be problematic. Didn't tell my wife how I cut myself until weeks later. I got another guy who says he had the same kneecap, dislocated kneecap, from over swinging in slow pitch softball. Same deal. Stuck on home plate, ambulance ride, surgery, and long recovery, the whole shebang. Now, I never needed surgery on that knee, so you got it worse than me. But I did have the like the duplicate. Oh, there's the one with the guy with the piece of wood through his calf. I just had to blow through that. I like this. One last one here. The OT game, this is from Steve Noble. The OT game where the Bills were the Dolphins, overtime, Rex punted. He says, I'm sure you remember that game. Well, when he sent out the punt team, I kicked my cast iron fire pit on the patio, broke my big toe, bled through my sneakers, and in the end lost my nail. Thank God it grew back. Okay, well, good. Good, I know that ended well. All right. There was one other one in here that stood out that I can't find it now. But it made me laugh out loud when I read it. I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. Yeah, no, this is really good radio. Oh, yeah, here we go. Matt Rich, this one was good. Sorry, one more last one. Catching in hardball, took a foul to the gems and then got hit in the face with the bat when the batter went to reload because I was hunched over, threw up a little on the plate.
That one's pretty good.
Pretty solid. Yep, pretty solid. All right, thanks for all those, everybody. That was a fun little exercise, mostly aside from the graphic photos of people's feet and calves with slabs of wood sticking out of them. All right, I'll take a break. We'll get, I'll get a preview of the nightcap. We got Joe coming up tonight. Any guests lined up? You got Derek hanging around? Anybody else coming in?
No guests, unless someone just wants to stroll in and maybe talk. That's fine.
All right, I'll leave the door open when I leave at 7 then. All right,
we'll take anybody.
We'll preview the night. Sounds promising. We'll preview the nightcap after this with Joe on WGR.
We offered him a contract. He did take it, you know, and as I said in my deposition, and I don't know if I'm legally able to say this, but he's had his chance to be here. He passed it.
Can I swear just this once? It's John Elway talking about the generous one offer they made to Colin Kaepernick, and he passed on it, so like he doesn't get another chance. Like, oh my God, shove it. Will ya? Ugh. Anyway, they might be looking for a veteran quarterback, and so Elway was asked about Kaepernick, and that was his response. Yeah. Joe, I never did pick your brain at all, and maybe you're going to talk about it tonight, so this will serve as a dual-purpose conversation to preview the nightcap tonight, maybe. I don't want to, like, choose your subject matter, but I never asked you if you watched the embedded thing. Did you check it out?
Yeah, I did. kind of same thoughts. Like, I was impressed, but I don't want to read too much into it just because it's a team-produced thing, and anything that would make him look bad, if there is anything, you would never see it.
Right.
So I'm you take it with a grain of salt, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I just for folks who weren't, I talked about this a lot in the 3 o'clock hour. Like, I came away really impressed with just how he talks to his coaches, how he talks to his team. And like, I don't know, I find it hard to believe, I guess, that he would be different without the cameras there. You know, like, if that's just who he is and that's how he does it. Like, I think he's got a very easy, natural, believable style with his team. And I think that that can go a long way. You know, it's firm, it's demanding, but not like drill sergeant-y. You know, like, he's, I think there's just a perfect balance there. I was really impressed.
And I'm glad, like, the my favorite part of it was the Trey White part. Just when he's talking about wanting guys to show their personality and like have a personality. Like, I'm always like athletes that have one of those that are interesting to listen to, that are willing to show their personality. So it's a good sign to me that he's not like one of those drill sergeant coaches. It's like, we're not doing that. Like, it's practice. Like, we're here for work. Like, that kind of nonsense.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. You scored a touchdown. Like, what are you doing it?
Right.
And even making fun of the, like, whoever number 91 was. Like, nobody even knows who he is. He's just running around. Like, that was pretty cool. All right. Well, aside from that, if that's coming up at all tonight, what else you got planned for this evening?
We'll touch on that a little bit. We're going to talk a lot about Bills versus Browns. Who you'd rather be right now? I'm pretty sure I know the answer I'm going to get from most people, but I actually think it might be closer than you might think. I mean, I know they look like a tire fire because of how their organization's been run, but to me, they have the quarterback that I would rather have right now. Like, they had they got Mayfield, they got him at one overall. He wasn't my favorite guy going into the draft, but I wanted him more than Allen. So to me, like, I have a bit of a preference there with who they have at quarterback. Also, I'm playing paintball on Saturday for the first time. I don't have a show tomorrow, so I'm looking for tips for people on what I'm supposed to do and what's like how to not mess up, not embarrass myself.
Paintball. I've never done that. I think I did some laser tag once.
I played laser tag. I'm told. Don't take anything from laser tag.
Okay. Well, sorry. Sorry, I brought it up.
No, that was my instinct too.
It's the closest I've been, I guess. So totally different. All right. Well, enjoy the nightcap. Yeah, that's right. It's the end of the week for you. I mean, you won't be here running the Bills radio network all night tomorrow, but you don't have a show tomorrow. Anyway. All right. Well, stay tuned. The nightcap is straight ahead with Joe. Derek's hanging out for that as well. I will be back tomorrow at 3 for preseason game number 2. Thanks for all the calls, texts, and tweets. I say text like I read the text line. I don't read them. Thanks, anyway. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.